Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Are you tired of struggling day after day to reach your financial goals with no success? Do you want to know how to use God's Word as a roadmap to reach your financial destiny? Then this is the show for you. Your host is none other than Sherry Gray, one of America's leading financial coaches. As a host and financial coach, Sherry has helped thousands of individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. For the next hour, you will be armed with the knowledge to achieve victory in your finances. You will hear firsthand how Sherry uses biblical principles to teach you how to budget, eliminate debt, and save for your future. And Sherry does it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And now, here's your host, the Money Mom, Sherry Gray.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thanks for joining me for another edition of the show. The scripture for this show is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, is gone. A new life has begun. And that's exactly what I feel like I do when I teach my students and I talk to my clients and I talk with you guys who are listening to the show as a live broadcast or as a podcast, that it's a new beginning. I always tell people that where they are financially is not their end, it's only their beginning. And to know that there is hope for their finances, there is hope, even though no matter what the circumstance situation looks like at the moment, that you can come out of whatever, you know, wherever you are, not because of anything that we've done, but because the Word of God has taught us about our money, about our finances, that there is hope if we trust in God, if we believe in His Word, and if we are obedient to His Word, it will definitely come to pass. And every promise that He has given to us in His Word about our money and our finances will come true. I love this show because I don't have a guest this show, but it's still going to be an amazing show. And I just want to kind of go over all the questions that people have asked me over the years as far as my clients and my students. And it's called Listener's Choice, Answers to Questions Asked by You. Now, I have some questions this hour that I'm going to go over, and I'm going to some common questions that I get over and over and over again. So if I've gotten them in my workshops, if I've gotten them working with clients one-on-one, then I'm sure these are questions that you guys may have as well. But I also want to welcome anyone listening to this show live online at blogtalkradio.com/themoneymom, or you can also dial in. Some people are not technologically advanced, so they need the regular old telephone number. That's fine. The call-in number, if you have a question, you can call me live, and I will answer your question on the air. My telephone number is 347-996-3266, and you can use that same number if you just want to call in and listen in as well. And the first question that I get this question probably more than any other question. The first question is, I don't get this question a lot. It's the second question, but my first question is, should my fiance and I talk about our finances before we're married? Okay? This is a very important question that people have asked me before, and the answer is always the same. It's yes. I've had couples who kind of discuss what they should be, once they're married, this is what you should do. And what I recommend to couples is, it's just like when you have pre-marriage counseling, either with your pastor or with a counselor, it should always incorporate, money. I know a lot of pre-marriage counseling probably incorporates money, but I truly believe there needs to be probably a separate, more detailed look at each person's finances. I know than what is offered in pre-marriage counseling. I highly recommend that couples come together and you see what your future husband and your future wife expenses are, their debts are, and you kind of take a look at where you are individually, but you also need to have a plan and have a vision of how your money's going to look once you're married and your money's combined. Always want to keep your money separate until you are married. That's very, very important. So definitely want to take a look at your expenses and your debt and all that before you're married. Because you don't want to get in a situation where you get married and you love the person, yes, but money is one of those things that can cause discord in a marriage. It's one of those things that can actually break up a marriage. And you don't want to go into it with anything negative, including your money. And you don't want to be surprised once you get married. It may build up resentment in you, resentment if it's you that has done, you know, not been responsible with your money. It may build up resentment in your spouse. So you definitely want to start your marriage off on a really great foot, and by getting your money together and not only getting, you know, seeing what the other person has financially, but just to get everything on the table. Your finances don't have to be perfect. Your finances don't have to be, you know, perfectly in order, but you do have to be open and willing to share where you are financially with your future spouse. That's very, very important. Because, again, you don't want to build your marriage on lack of information. And then it builds resentment in that person who has had their finances together. And then you come into the marriage. You didn't tell me that you had, you know, $50,000 student loan. You didn't tell me that you had a $20,000 credit card, you know, balance. And there, and I know it happened in my marriage. And, you know, I'm always a frugal person. I've always been a person who, you know, saved, and I didn't use credit cards that much, and I didn't go into debt. And my husband was the opposite at a certain point. He's, you know, much, much, much better now, thank God, praise God. But it was a resentment because I felt like I was working to pay for his debt. And you don't want to go into a relationship feeling that way because it creates discord from the very beginning. It's already a situation where you're getting to know one another, you've never lived together, and you've never been married before, or you've never been married to each other before, at the minimum, and you're learning how to be married to each other, and the last thing you want to do is to have something that could have been prevented in pre-marriage counseling by, you know, you guys looking at each other's finances and seeing where you stand. So that's very important. Another question that I'm asked, and again, this is probably the most asked question that I get from every workshop I've taught, every, you know, person I've ever worked with one-on-one as a finance counselor is, what do I do if my spouse and I are not on the same page with our finances? My husband and I had a whole show about how do I get my spouse on board with our finances, and it is still to this day the most downloaded show. You know, I've been doing the show for over 3 years, and it is the most downloaded show still to this day. We've talked about everything on the show. We talked about resumes and, you know, eating healthy on a budget and insurance, investing, you know, purchasing a home following a financial crisis like a short sale. We've covered a plethora of topics is gone across the board, and this topic is still the number one most downloaded show of all my shows. What do I do if my spouse and I are not on the same page with our finances? This is such a huge topic. It really can't be done if you don't get your spouse on board. It's going to be a fracture. You can try to do your expenses, and he can do his. And I've heard people say they have separate accounts, and I pay part of the bills, and then he pays part of the bills, and we keep our money separate. But the thing of what that is, and they say, well, it works for us, but is it really working for you? How is that your relationship, because you've done your money that way, how is your communication with your spouse? Is that working? How is your relationship with your spouse in general? Do you get along with one another? What if you want to purchase a home together? How do you even know what that person has? Maybe he has his own set of credit cards that you don't know. There's a certain point when, even if you keep your finances separate, if you keep your money and your income separate and you kind of pay bills separately, there's a point when you're going to have to eventually come together and buy something huge like a home, and then all of a sudden all your money is considered. It's not his money. It's not her money. It's our money. Then what are you going to do? And you don't want a surprise when you want to move forward with something like buying a home. You want to know what that person has. You want to know what your spouse has. And plus, if you have your money together and you're working together, it makes things so much easier, and you would be amazed. Just try it. Combine your money together, pay your bills out of the same account. You can have your own retirement. You know, of course, you have to have your own retirement account. Get his own retirement account, but try it and see if it doesn't, spill over into the rest of your relationship, and see how much better and how much more, how much richer your relationship is going to be, separate from the money. It's amazing how much money problems and money issues bleed over into your relationship with your spouse. If your money is out of order, I can probably guarantee that couple's relationship is out of order as well. You can't compartmentalize finances. If you don't have your finances together, it's going to carry over into your relationship, and your relationship will suffer. So I always tell people it's very important to work with your spouse on your budget, work with your spouse on, creating a plan for your financial future. And I tell men and women, that you can't beat your spouse over the head and say, look, this is what I decided to do. We're going to get out of debt. We're going to make a budget. We're going to create a plan for our future. You can't go about it that way. You have to eat into it. You're already on board with getting your finances together, but it's going to take them a little time. So you have to be patient with that person who's not on board with you. You have to be patient with them that they're eventually going to come around, and you have to be willing to take baby steps. It's like losing weight. You don't just go into the gym and get on a diet. It's baby steps. You drink water, 8 glasses of water a day. You work out once a week, and then you build up to twice a week and three times a week. You have to build up to that. And when that your spouse who's reluctant does something that may seem small to you, but they are very proud of themselves because it's something that they've never done before. Maybe they took their lunch to work one day instead of buying lunch. Just praise them for that, because if you do that, then that will encourage them to keep going and want to do even more things. So if you have a reluctant spouse, the best thing to do is to speak with them with an easy tongue and to approach them just with the spirit of God, humbly, nicely, and so that they'll receive what you have to say and allow them to make decisions about the money as well. You got to come in together. That person, your spouse, has a say-so just like you have a say-so, and you have to come together and compromise and say, okay, maybe we can concede on this, maybe we can concede on that, but ultimately you're coming together to reach a common financial goal. But you have to approach it in a way that you don't offend your spouse and you don't push them away and you don't upset them. You have to approach them easily, and when they do something that with their money that is a positive thing, you have to be open to praise them for that so that they will be encouraged to keep going. All right. Right now we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to leave you with the sounds of Awesome by Pastor Charles Jenkins. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know it's awesome, say,
my God.
Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name.
Come on and testify, you know he's awesome. Say,
welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I want to remind everyone that I will be having hosting a financial legacy workshop. It will be an online webinar, which means anybody with the internet access, no matter where you are, U.S., outside of the U.S., can be a part of this awesome workshop. I've taught this workshop for about 3 years, and it's been a blessing to so many people, so I would definitely encourage you to sign up. It's going to be November 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's $8. Again, that 8 is new beginnings, like we were talking about with the scripture of the show, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. And you can submit the $8 registration fee through PayPal using my email address, sherrygray@themoneymom.org. That's S-H-E-R-R-I-G-R-A-Y. Or you can mail the fee and registration form to the address listed on the form, the registration form. You can request a registration form by sending an email to the same address, email address, sherrygray@themoneymom.org. And as a bonus, because I have a giving heart, each person who registers for the workshop is entered to win an e-reader, which is a $100 value, a $50 Visa gift card, a $25 Visa gift card, or a copy of my new ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. Instructions to access the online workshop will be provided following registration. So, and I also want to encourage anyone this hour who wants to call and ask a question of the Money Mom, you can do so by dialing in at 347-996-3266, and you can use that same number if you just want to call in and listen in. Now, another question, this show is called Listener's Choice, Answers to Questions Asked by You, but another common question that I get when I teach my workshops is that, do I need life insurance outside of my job? I always encourage people to get adequate life insurance, level term life insurance, because it's the cheapest insurance you can get, the best bang for your buck, especially if you're trying to get out of a financial abyss or a financial quagmire. Definitely you want to get level term life insurance. Usually it's 20-year terms, but they have 10, 20, 30-year terms. So. And, yes, your job does provide you with a level of life insurance, a group life insurance plan, but it's usually only 2 times your income, which is a great start, but it is only a start. I recommend 10 times your annual income in level term life insurance. So if you have an annual salary of $50,000, you should have a $500,000 level term life insurance policy at a minimum. Because the purpose of life insurance, I always tell people, is that if something should happen to you, you want to make sure that your family and your children are taken care of years and years and years after you're gone. It's not just for today. It's not just for this year or next year. It's for the rest of their life until they become adults, if you have minor children especially. And if you have a spouse, you want to make sure they're taken care of and through, you know, into retirement so that they can use that money to secure themselves financially, whether it's pay off your mortgage, it could be to, you know, save for their retirement, it could be done for a number of reasons. I know this is something that people don't want to talk about, people don't want to face, but death, I always say, is a part of life, and you have to be prepared. And one of the ways you can show your family that you truly love them is by being prepared. And one way to be prepared is by making sure that you have adequate life insurance in place. It's so important. And when you get that life insurance, make sure people know what the policy is. People get the policy, they don't know what the face value is, they don't know what the, you know, copy of the policy is. So make sure you put all those important documents like a will, life insurance, things like that, in a designated place and let your loved ones know where that place is. So that's extremely, extremely, extremely important. And another common question I get is, how do I get through each month with money left over? A common thing with people, the first thing I tell people to do is create a budget, create a written budget, so that you see what you have coming in and going out in black and white. And what usually happens with individuals is they have never created a budget or they haven't created a budget in a long time. So they don't realize how much money they're actually spending. When they see it in black and white, they realize they're actually spending more money than they actually make, which the goal is always to live on less than you make and use the difference to pay down debt, save an emergency fund, and to invest in yourself and your children. But you have to begin at the beginning, and the beginning is to create a budget. And so you can see where, you know, those categories are that you may need to tweak so that you can begin to live on less than you make. The reason people spend more than they make every month is because they don't pay attention. They're not keeping track of what they're spending. They're just swiping their debit card. Money's going out. They know, kind of have a general idea of what they have, their expenses are, and what they have going out, but they're just not diligent and disciplined to keep track of exactly what they're spending. We all know what our mortgage is. We all know what our rent is. We all know, you know, we get a bill for, you know, gas, electricity, water. You know, we get our standard bills every month, and we know what those dollar amounts are. Or people get in trouble, I find, every month is the miscellaneous purchases. And these are the Walmart visits and the Target visits. I always say Walmart is the devil. I'm convinced that Walmart is the devil because people go into these retail stores, they go to the mall, and they swipe their cards, and they don't really know what exactly they're spending. Okay. And so it's those miscellaneous purchases where you kind of go out, you know, your hair, your clothes, your shoes, and you really don't know what you're spending. You have to create a dollar amount for each one of those categories in your budget, and you have to stick to the dollar amount as close as you can, whether it's on paper, whether you have to withdraw, like, cash out and spend cash, and when that money's gone, that money's gone. But the miscellaneous expenses I find is really the culprit in people's budget, and that's where they overspend. Because you know how much your gas is going to be. You know how much your electricity is going to be. You know how much your car note is. You know how much gas you put in, you know, every week in your tank. You know how much, you know, your groceries are. But it's those random miscellaneous expenses that you really have to keep a rein on. Okay? And which leads me to my next question, which actually I'm not going to go into my next question because it's time for a break so soon. All right, now I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Every Moment by Forever Jones to Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you for joining me for this hour. This is a listener's choice, answers to questions asked by you. And I typically have guests on my show, and I will continue to have special guests on my show talking about topics that are relevant to you. But one of the things I want to begin doing, I want to encourage people to call in. Again, the call-in number is 347-996-3266. And I've been stressing to people to call in and ask questions because I really want to hear from the people that are listening to the show. I'm trying to encourage people who, you know, a lot of people listen to the download the podcast, but I really want to encourage people to listen live and to ask, you know, I want to hear from real people asking real questions so I can answer them live on the air because I really want to hear and talk to people who are listening to the show. And it's important for me to reach out and just share knowledge with people, maybe questions that I've never heard before and things that I can talk about that would help other people that are listening in, either live or to the podcast. So I'm going to keep saying this every week until someone actually called in. I'm going to say it over and over and over again. Call in, call in, call in. The guests are awesome. I love having expert guests on the air, but it's so, so important to me that people, real people, call in with the real questions so that I can really reach out to people and just help people as much as I possibly can. You never know. The question you ask may bless someone else. So keep that in mind. Every week, of course, I have a blog, and I always do a giveaway. And I have been partnering with other bloggers, and so I actually have 3 giveaways this week. Amazing. And this week's giveaways are an iPad 3, which that giveaway will end 11/1, November 1st. Another giveaway I have is, it's called a Sleepy Pod Air Pet Carrier. Never heard of it, but it is a $160 value, and that giveaway ends on October 31st. And the third giveaway I'm co-hosting or co-posting with other bloggers is, it's called a Bunzi Balance Trainer. It's a $50 value, and that giveaway ends on October the 22nd. So I have 3 giveaways. You can enter each one, and the way you do that is you go to my blog, which is themoneymomdeals.blogspot.com, and you can search by the keywords. The first keyword is iPad 3, okay, and you can enter to win there. The second keyword, this is one word, Sleepy Pod, SLEEPYPOD, and the third keyword is Bunzi, BUNZI. And when you type in those individually those keywords, the giveaway will pop up, and it will give you details about how you can enter to win an iPad 3, a Sleepy Pod Air Pet Carrier worth $160, or a Bunzi Balance Trainer worth $50. Okay, all right, awesome. So, another common question that I get from people who are my clients as well as my people that participate in my workshop is, how do I get out of debt? This is probably the number one, well, behind the how do I get my spouse on board with the finances. This is plaguing the church community. Debt, debt, debt. It's plaguing this country, plaguing the church, plaguing the believers, the saints. It is such a huge problem, and a lot of people are so embarrassed. I work with people, and they say, you know, don't judge me. When you look at my finances, when you look at my debt, when you look at how much, you know, money I make, to me, it's numbers. I couldn't tell you, I couldn't pull out a name out of my head and remember the numbers that they've given me, you know, as far as how much debt they have and how much, I can't remember, because my goal, my goal is always just to help the person. And when I see the numbers, it's just I see someone I need to help. I don't see, you know, I don't judge people. So, and I've been there. I've been in debt before. And I can honestly say right now is the only debt that I have right now are my homes. I have a primary home that I live in with my family, my husband and my 2 children, and I also have a rental property. I have climbed out of the abyss of debt. Now all I owe is my mortgages, and I've climbed out and climbed up the credit. My credit score has grown so much from me getting calls from collection agencies. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many times I, you know, avoided phone calls, or a collection agency called me and harassed me verbally and lied to me and told me that if I didn't pay my debt, that they were going to put me in jail, or my husband in jail, or both. And just things that were said to me, just to collect the debt, were amazing and oftentimes are illegal. if people don't know it, it's very important that you even just Google the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act, and it can tell you your rights as a consumer. Even if you are a delinquent debtor, you still have rights. Fair Debt Collections Practices Act. Google that, okay? But I climbed out from having a horrible credit score. Couldn't even, I got to tell you this. When I first got a cell phone or applied for a cell phone, this was so many years ago. My youngest wasn't even born yet. My oldest was probably, she may have been 3 years old at the time. She's 16 years old now. But I think it was with Sprint. And I was getting a phone, and they ran my credit, and my credit was so bad that they asked me for a $300 deposit to open open my account for my cell phone. I got the phone with them. I didn't have $300. I barely was scraping by, you know, paying my rent and getting food on the table and keeping the lights on. I didn't have $300 deposit. I got the phone, and I called my husband, and I cried. And he ended up getting the phone in his name. His credit was actually, you know, better than mine at the time, and it was just horrible. I couldn't even get a cell phone. My credit was so bad. Collections agency, you know, collectors calling me left and right, and just days where I would sit in the middle of my living room and cry because I didn't know how I was going to get out of the situation I was in. To the point I am right now today in 2012, having no, the only debt I have are my mortgages, and I got my credit score up to the point where I'm able to purchase a primary home and to rent a home and that be my only debt. I can show you how I did it. I did it God's way. It is hard at times. It's difficult, but it can be done. I can show you how I got out of debt God's way, but you got to sign up for my seminar, my workshop. I say it all in my financial legacy workshop that I've been teaching for 3 years, and I'm just this year extending it to people outside of my church. I'm extending it to people all over the world right now because I'm telling you what I've done. I'm not telling you from theory. I'm telling you what I've done myself. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Okay? How do I get out of debt? I tell people there's only one way to get out of debt, and it's to pay the debt. You have to pay the debt. People want a magic pill. They want a quick fix. They want to go to a credit repair company. They want to go to this person and this person. They want to figure out an easy way out, and there is no easy way out. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry to tell you. I know that's not what you want to hear. There's no easy way out of debt. None. And this leads me to my next question that people ask me. How do I repair my credit or increase my credit score? You know, once your credit is trash, once you've had, you know, your accounts going to collections, once you have the creditors calling and knocking at your door and sending a certified mail saying you owe a debt, what do you do? How do you get out of it? How do you raise your credit score? Again, I tell people there's only one way to do it. It's not by signing up with a credit repair company. It's not by paying them these exorbitant fees to repair, I'm using air quotes here, repair your credit. No, it's you buckling down, making a budget, cutting expenses where you need to, increasing your income if you can, get a part-time job, whatever you got to do, start using your extra money, living on less than you make, using extra money to pay down your debt and save your emergency fund and invest in your future. It is that simple. But at the same time, it's that hard. It's so hard, but it's not impossible. It's hard, but not impossible. It's not difficult, it's not complicated, sometimes hard, but it's always, always worth it. Right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds. Ooh, if I can scroll down, my love. What do I want to play? I want to play something upbeat. Let's play Dietrich Haddon. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Dietrich Haddon. This is Mighty God by Dietrich Haddon. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and this is a special edition. This show is called Listener's Choice, Answers to Questions Asked by You. And these are questions that have been asked by me, by my clients, and also by people who have attended my workshop. And I said last segment, I don't have a car note. I don't have a credit card. I don't have a student loan. I have my two mortgages, and that's it. If you want to know the strategies that I use to get to where I am, I have a permanent residence and a rental property, coming from being, you know, getting collections calls and being in tears in the middle of my living room to not owing, all the only thing I owe is my two mortgages and, you know, having a rental property, primary residence, and being where I am today. You want to know how I did what I did? Sign up for my financial legacy workshop webinar, which will be take place on November 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Like I said, you can make payment of $8 through PayPal using my email address, sherrygray@themoneymom.org, or you can request a registration form with the same email address, sherrigray@themoneymom.org, and I'll email that to you, and you can mail the payment using the address on the registration form directly to me. And once you register, I will email instructions to you for you to access the online workshop, okay? And I have another awesome seminar that's coming up tomorrow. I am not in charge of this one, but I can tell you it's going to be an amazing, amazing seminar. It is a taxes and finance seminar, but unfortunately it's, you know, for the DMV. I call it the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. It is a seminar that's being hosted by Mark Miller, who's an Edward Jones financial advisor, and Priscilla Meyerson, who is a CPA. And they're going to be talking about taxes and finances and how they relate to one another. And it's absolutely free. It's going to be tomorrow night, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Expectation Restaurant. And the address is 8058 Crescent Park Drive in Gainesville, Virginia, 20155. And you also, as a bonus, not only is the seminar free, but they're also going to provide you with a free dinner. You can't beat that, okay? You're going to get free information and a free dinner on top of that. What more can you ask for? If you need more information about this seminar, you can contact Kimberly at 703-753-2945 or send her an email to kimberly.ruzinski, R-U-C-I-N-S-K-I, at edwardjones.com. So check that out. If you missed that one, if you listen to the podcast and that's already passed, he is having, Mr. Mark Miller is having another free seminar next month on November the 7th, same location, same time, and actually yours truly, moi, will be speaking at that event on November 7th, and I'll be talking about what else, budgeting, and then Mr. Mark Miller, who's a financial advisor, will be talking about in finances, investing, so check it out if you can. All right, so another question that I get all the time is, what do I need to do to buy a home, especially if I have bad credit? You know, you've been delinquent on your bills, you've gone through a short sale, a foreclosure, or even a bankruptcy. What do? I want to buy a home. I want to achieve the American dream of home ownership. What do? You have to begin. If you haven't been paying your bills on time, you have to start paying them on time, earlier and on time. You got to pay down your debt. You have to just start paying attention to what you're bringing in and what you're spending. It's vital that you just begin to pay attention to your money. If you ever want hope of ever buying a home, especially if you've gone through some sort of financial crisis, you have to begin to pay attention to the money you're making and the money you're spending. And it's no magic pill. It's no secret. It is one of the most difficult things I've ever done, and it's probably going to be one of the most difficult things you've ever done because it requires you to say no to the person in the mirror sometimes. Not all the time. You know, you work hard. You deserve to nice things and to go on vacation and all those things, but not at the expense of your future, okay? Not at the expense of not being able to buy a home, not being able to retire, and not being able to send your kids to college. You have to begin to discipline yourself to pay attention to what you have coming in and what you have going out and to make the adjustments accordingly. You have to be able to become diligent and disciplined in when it comes to your money. That's the only way. And of course, there's all these programs for down payments and, you know, at least 3% down payment when you purchase a home. And you also want to look at your budget because, you know, you can be pre-approved for a dollar amount. You know, the bank will give you, you know, more than probably you can really afford. because they're not factoring in lights and gas and food and groceries and all. I mean, there's lots of expenses that you have that they don't factor into that pre-approval dollar amount. And you have to be an adult and not a child. You have to be, you know, be an adult and say, this is how much I can afford, and I'm not going to go over this. Otherwise, you're going to get into your dream home, and it's going to become a nightmare. And the last thing you want to do is to, you know, get your spouse, your husband, your wife into this home and your children, and then 2 or 3 years from now, you can no longer afford it because you really couldn't afford to get into that house in the beginning. So you really want to be realistic. You know, you want a nice home. You want to be in a nice neighborhood and, you know, be comfortable, but you also don't want that house to control you. You want it to be a blessing to you and your family, and you don't want it to become a nightmare and to become a hindrance to you. So it's very important that you be realistic about what you can afford and not go over that amount, okay? Now, the last question I'm going to go over, and there's so many more, but these are the most common questions I get all the time from my clients and my students, is how do I invest my money to build wealth for college and retirement? Some of my students have children, some of them do not. So most people are really more interested in retirement. I threw the college thing in there, you know, for measure. But most people really want to know more about how do I build wealth for retirement. And it's the same thing. If you don't know how much money you're making, you don't know how much money you're spending, and the only way you're going to be able to invest for retirement is if you, you know, a lot of people have the money taken out from their, you know, their paycheck every time, and they have a certain percentage taken out. But how do you know if that percentage is going to build your wealth to the point where you have a certain balance in your retirement account that you can live for the rest of your life? How do you know that? Are you just picking arbitrary 3%? Everybody says 3% because my employer matches up to 3%. How do you know if 3% is going to be an adequate amount to invest in your future so that when you are 65 years old, you have enough retirement from the age of 65 to 85, however long your lifespan is, and you don't run out of money? I don't think 3% is probably not going to cut it for most people. It's going to be more like 10-15% for most people. But people just kind of pick a number out of the sky and they say, they never look at, okay, how much, they don't ask the important questions. How much money what percentage of my income do I want at retirement? I'm making $60,000 right now a year. Do I feel like I can live on 50% of my current income? Do I feel like I can live on 75%? And how long do I think I'm going to live after retirement? Am I going to live 20 years? Am I going to live 30 years? What do I think my lifespan? What's the average lifespan? 20, 25 years after retirement? And so you say, okay, I'm going to live on, say, 100% of my income, $60,000. I am going to live another 25 years. You're going to multiply 25 times $60,000, and what does that give you? Is 3% really going to be enough money to take you through your life, your lifetime? People just, you have to start thinking and being more proactive about how long do you have to retirement? And that's going to determine how much you can put away. And it's so many questions you got to ask yourself. How long do I have to retirement? How many years do I have left? Because once you get that dollar amount, you know what percentage of your current income you want at retirement, and you know what your lifespan is, 25 years times that $60,000, okay, and it's going to give you a dollar amount. Well, that's going to be, I'm sorry, let me calculate it real quick because I need my calculator. Even though I'm the money mom, I need to calculate it. Let's see. So I got 25 years times $60,000 is how much? So that's $1,500,000 I need in retirement. And I am 20 years out from retirement, let's just say. So every year I need to be saving $75,000 a year. That's if I don't know, you're not even counting interest right now. That's $75,000 a year. And so I need, and it's 26 pay periods. Oh, am I doing that right? Well, that's if you start today. If you start today and you're 40 years old and you're 20 years from retirement and you say, I make $60,000, I want to live on 100% of my income when I retire times 25 years, is $1.5 million. Divide that by 20 years to retirement, okay, divided by 26 pay periods. That means I need to save $2,800 every pay period to retire, which is actually $75,000 is more than is more money than you actually make every year. So that's an impossibility. But you get the point. You hopefully at 40 you've already started saving for retirement and you have some money in your retirement account so that you don't have to put up such huge chunks. And that is one of the things that is a downfall. If you start late, you know, you can start wherever you are. But if you start late saving for retirement, then you only have so many years left for retirement and you need this amount of money, you have to, in order to catch up, you have to put these huge chunks of money, you know, every pay period into your retirement account. But that just shows you, if you even want like a million, let's just say $1 million, well, that's not even say a million, let's just say 500,000, okay? And you have 20 years to retirement. That means you have to put in almost $1,000 every pay period to reach $500,000 by retirement. And, of course, that's not including interest. And with interest, you know that's going to fluctuate a little bit. But you really have to, like, sit down. Of course, I always tell people, I'm not a tax professional. I'm not an investment professional. I'm not, you know, I am a certified personal finance counselor. I can recommend, I give guidance. But when it comes to investing and things like that, taxes, and I always tell you to seek the guidance and counsel of a professional, and I'm telling you this in this case, but just to give you a rough idea of what you really need to be thinking about, you need to be thinking about what percentage of your current income you want at retirement. You want to think about what your lifespan is going to be after retirement, how many years, and you want to start thinking about how many years you have left from now until retirement. All the things you have to start thinking about and sit down with your investment professional to figure out what dollar amount you need to invest every pay period, okay? So to even if you don't hit that mark, just starting is a huge advantage. Just beginning, and maybe if you're already investing, kind of look at it with a new set of eyes and say, maybe I need to bump this up a little. Maybe I need to decrease my investing in my retirement. But you can't do that if you're broke. You can't do that if you have a whole bunch of debt. You can't do that if you're living, if you're spending every dime you make and then some. Again, it all begins. You got to back up. Look at your budget. Look at how much you're spending. If you're overspending, cut out your expenses. If you've done all you can do and you're still short, maybe get a part-time job, increase your income, decrease your expenses, or both. Use the extra money to pay down your debt, save an emergency fund, and invest in your future. And if you want to know these strategies, I'm just giving the basics. There's so many more strategies that I teach in my workshop. You want to sign up for my workshop today. And I just want to remind everyone that my next show will be next Tuesday, Today's October the 9th. My next show will be next Tuesday, October the 16th. Next week, my guest will be Patty Vial, founder of the nonprofit organization Volunteer Expeditions. Patty will be talking about how Volunteer Expeditions plans and organizes group volunteer vacations. Remember, you can listen to my live show every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. online at blogtalkradio.com/themoneymob. If you miss the live shows, you can always listen to my past shows at themoneymom.org. And I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to this show, Listener's Choice, Answers to Questions Asked by You. And I always encourage people every show to call in. And so just begin calling in, asking whatever questions, and you can be completely anonymous. I can give you your first name, where you're from, and that's it, or I can give you first initial. You can give your first initial. Whatever you want to do is completely, completely anonymous. Nobody has to know who you are and where you're calling from. Definitely, definitely. Thank you guys for joining me for another edition of the Money Mom Show. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you next time.
Crashing all over my belief, and in all sincerity, Lord, I wanna be yours. So pull me out of this mess I'm in, 'cause I know I'm one. Lead my soul back home again. Always in yours. And this world may push me, pull, but your love will never fade.